I'd like to read a maybe an unusual passage. We don't often read from it in a gospel meeting. The Song of Solomon, one of those books right in the middle of the Old Testament. You'll find the book of Psalms, and then Proverbs and Ecclesiastes, and then the Song of Solomon. One of the very unusual books of Holy Scripture. Just a short reading from chapter 2 of the Song of Solomon. We read at verse 3 of Solomon's Song, chapter 2. Verse 3. As the apple tree among the trees of the wood, so was my beloved among the sons. I sat down under his shadow with great delight, and his fruit was sweet to my taste. It's particularly these words. He brought me to the banqueting house, or he brought me into the banqueting house, and his banner over me was love. He brought me into the banqueting house, and his banner over me was love. Now that's what we read. We trust the Lord's blessing upon this reading of Scripture. I suppose you'll not know what this is all about as far as this reading is concerned, and I don't want to go into extensive details, but just to abbreviate it as much as I can, these words were spoken by a girl, and she had just had a life-changing experience. She was a country girl, hadn't very much going for her. And then, to her surprise, she received an invitation to become the bride of a king. She could hardly take it in. And when she arrived at the royal palace, having responded to the invitation, and when she was brought into the great banqueting hall with all its regal splendor, the wonder grew. And this is what she said. He brought me, that is the king, he brought me to the banqueting house, and his banner over me was love. I tell you, it was some change. It was almost beyond imagination, and yet it was reality. You know, I want to say tonight, you can have a life-changing experience here. I've had it. This was Solomon the king, who took a country girl from the sticks, and he brought her to the palace. I want to really speak to you about a greater than Solomon. The Lord Jesus. Solomon was the greatest king that ever lived. We preach tonight a Savior, and he's greater than all. Greater than the greatest. And dear friend, he could intervene in your life. He gives you an invitation. He could make a change for you. That's almost bigger than your mind just at the moment would be able to take it. He did it for me. In fact, there's a little hymn that I was going over in my mind today. The man that wrote it died on this very date a number of years back in 1971. The hymn was written nearly 100 years ago in 1911. The man's name was Schofield, John Schofield. He lived in North America. He was a school teacher and a man that dabbled in real estate, as they call it, and so on. Quite a successful businessman. But as a younger man, the Lord saved him. And this was the little, a happy little gospel song, a gospel hymn that he wrote. I found a friend. He's all to me. His love is ever true. I wish to tell how he lifted me and what his grace can do for you. Saved by his power divine, saved to a life sublime, my life is now sweet, and my joy is complete, for I'm saved, saved, saved. You see, the secret of that hymn writer's joy was salvation. What happened to him was very similar to what happened to this girl, what happened to me, what happened to you. And this is the language. He brought me to the banqueting house, and his banner over me was love. Obviously, in the text, there are three things that need to be considered. First of all, the bringing. He brought me. Secondly, the banquet. I tell you, it was some supper. It was some spread. It was a royal feast. The dainties were rich. What a banquet. Dear friend, there are blessings for you in Christ. They're just awaiting your participation. Thank God you can have them tonight. Whatever you do, don't miss it. The offer is too big. Too big for you in any way to turn up your nose at it or to go away. And not only the bringing, he brought me in. And not only the banquet. We'd have to think about the banner. Because it was royal love that did it all. His banner over me. He brought me. You know, when she said that, actually, I couldn't just tell you for sure which of the words got the emphasis. Was the emphasis in her statement, he brought me? Or was the emphasis, he brought me? Well, I'm going to take it the last way first. She just couldn't get over this, that a person so great as Solomon would have any interest her. She was just a slave girl. I said already, she worked down in the sticks. She was a keeper of vineyards. She had a hard life. Some of her family had pushed her out, ready to do a man's work. And she just had lived like a slave. And her life would have been a sad story, only for the fact that one day the king intervened and gave her the invitation of a lifetime. You know, dear friend, we are slaves. We are sinners. The devil has taken the best of our lives, and the devil grounds. He puts us out to work. He puts us out to pasture. In the dark fields of sin, there's maybe someone here tonight, and you look back upon your life, and you can see that things haven't domestically, not good. Personally, not socially, not good. Spiritually, you're far. Here's a girl lived away up in the north country. Nobody ever took any notice of her. She was away at a distance, just a slave, just a poor country girl. Nothing special about her, but the king called her. Isn't that marvelous, dear friend? I want you to get the positive, that just for you tonight, and for me, just a sinner like you, this girl said, he brought me, just the likes of me. And dear friend, just as you are. You don't need to dress yourself up. Just accept the Bible's verdict. We are just the slaves of sin. And as the slaves of sin, peoples whose lives have been seriously damaged by the forces of evil, thank God tonight, lives can be changed. Souls can be saved. He brought me. Dear man, you don't need to live the rest of 2013 in your sins and on the way to hell. There's maybe a girl here, a lady here, like the lady in the passage. My dear lady, you're being called tonight by the king. Things can change. For a sinner like you, you could come to the banquet hall of rich and royal grace. And you could sit down at the table, and you could lift the knife and fork and taste the dainties which the grace of God have provided to the salvation. Oh, he brought me. But you know, another side of it that I think she really, it was, he brought me. And such a person as him, the king, the greatest king, you know, to bring her, he had to come and fetch her. He had to leave the palace. She didn't come to the palace door knocking to get in. She didn't come looking in. He came looking for her. He left the palace. He didn't come in his royal robes. If I were to read the whole book, I could show you that he came as a shepherd. And when she saw him at the first, she didn't recognize that this is the great king. He came in the guise of a shepherd. You know, I want to tell you, dear friend, about a greater king that took a greater journey. If we are going to be brought in, he had to come out. If we are ever going to get to heaven, let us tell the marvelous story. Tonight again, the Savior had to leave heaven. And from the palaces. Oh, that's a lovely hymn too. I like these great hymns, dear friend, that would touch a chord in the hardest heart. Out of the ivory palaces, into a world of woe, only his great eternal love made my Savior go. Dear friend, he came from the palace of eternal heaven. He stepped into this world not with the blinding blaze of his everlasting glory. He was just a carpenter. And in fact, the Bible tells us that when he was in this world, he was a shepherd. He was a good shepherd. He was a good shepherd that gave his life for the sheep. I want to say very emphatically in my message, this girl would never have been brought in had the king not come out. And dear friend, never forget, the message that we preach is a message that has as its background the coming of the Savior into our planet. And it has as its backcloth the death that he died upon the cross that we might be saved. He's the good shepherd. Oh, he's the sovereign. He's the King of glory. Those great words, there's another hymn that comes to my mind just now. The great words of Isaac Watts, when I survey the wondrous cross on which the Prince of glory died. My riches gain I count but loss, and I pour contempt on all my pride. It overwhelmed this girl that such a king should ever look upon such a slave as she was. Dear friend, I still can't take it in that such a glorious Christ should ever leave heaven to come to earth to die for a sinner like me. And I'm glad to tell you tonight, dear man, that he has died for you. You can be brought in tonight. You are being invited. And not only did the king come from the palace to where she lived, but he called her. Oh, he called her. She got a royal invitation. And I want to say, dear friend, that he calls you tonight. You're invited. You're invited. He brought me the bringing of a person. I just want to emphasize, there are big things in life that you have maybe messed up until now. This old, bright and shallow, shining, superficial world, it has claimed the most of your attention, and it has impressed you and made you think it's a big thing. You've maybe discovered it's an empty bubble. Dear friend, the devil has cheated you. Sin has ruined you. You have come to a meeting tonight where Christ is inviting you, and you're called to bigger and to brighter and to better things. It's amazing that he would ever bring the likes of us to such blessing. What about the banquet? Well, I tell you, Solomon was a king to put on a spread. Actually, the Bible tells us, and I'm not going into this, the Bible tells us that his plates were gold. There was nothing, it wasn't paper plates, you know. It wasn't plastic knives and plastic forks when you were called by Solomon. And this lady, this country girl, has been called to become Solomon's bride. And he's bringing her to the royal wedding reception. And when she gets to the banquet hall, it's a fabulous feast, the likes of which she has never seen before in her life. You know, dear friend, you think that salvation's a dry business. You think that responding to the gospel and turning your back upon the old bad lands of sin and listening to the call of Christ, you think that you're going to lose something. I tell you, dear people, tonight, all of you, some I don't know in the meeting, we're glad to see you all. I want to tell you, dear friend, there are far richer joys to be found in Christ than anything this world can provide. There's a banquet. That's why the Lord Jesus, when he was speaking about it, He said a certain man made a great supper. It was a lavish feast. Listen, man, you could come tonight to the gospel table, the royal table, and taste the forgiveness of sins. You could get the salvation of your soul. You could have everlasting life. You could find peace with God. You could find a relationship that would make you right with God forever. I'm sorry that so many are cheated. They think the world will give satisfaction. Just a month there, you know. Rory O'Sullivan. Well, there he is. Sitting at the very top of the world of snooker. Four or five times, I just don't follow snooker that closely. Four or five times the world champion. He's just gathered in his check for 300,000. He's about to put the cues down. And he said, snooker doesn't do it anymore for me. Well, it does, you know. Whether it's snooker, whether it's football, whatever the game of this world is, whatever the gloss and the glitz and the glamour is, dear friend, you always reach a point where it doesn't do it anymore. No matter how far you travel, no matter how high you climb, the little carryouts, the carryouts of this world, they just wrap them in paper. And they don't do it anymore. They never satisfy the deep hunger of the human soul. But I tell you, dear friend, there's a banquet tonight that you can find in Christ. Oh, try the joys that Christ can give. Thou wouldst be saved. Why not tonight? Some of you that sit on the outside, you're not yet in the banquet hall. You think that the Christians have been shortchanged. No, dear friend. As long as you live in your sins, you're doing yourself an injury. Thank God you're welcomed in tonight. There's a rich table. The table has been spread. It has been spread out of the royal bounty. Solomon carried all the expense, you know. He didn't charge. There wasn't a ticket. In fact, I saw, if you would like to get a good dinner, Warren Buffett. That's a good name for the boy. For this time, I think, Warren Buffett. Just this week, I saw it in the paper yesterday. You can start bidding tonight, they tell me. And whatever you bid to have a dinner with the great businessman and philanthropist in America, the bids close on Friday, so you have 4 or 5 days to think about it. And you can start bidding, and whatever you bid for the privilege of having a dinner with that illustrious multi-billionaire, it goes to charity. He's done it for the last 8 years. The bid last year that won the dinner was $3.5 million. You could eat a brave lot for $3.5 million. I think you would be indigestion. So if you want to get beyond, start bidding tonight to get a meal with Warren Buffett. Talking nonsense, dear friend. That half of the world is mad. You could be dining tonight with the King of Grace. You could be sitting tonight at the gospel table, enjoying the gospel supper, feasting with Christ, enjoying this banquet. You could be how much would it cost you? $3.5 million? No. Pounds and dollars wouldn't pay for it, dear friend. But I'm glad to tell you the price was all paid when the Savior died at Calvary. His precious blood. And a sinner like me, I walked right in through the door. Oh, the wealth of this feast. And I would say before I close tonight, oh, the welcome of this feast. When you come to the door as a sinner, he will bring you, just as Solomon brought in this country girl and set her down in state and set her down in style, with a supper that was sumptuous, with a supper that was satisfying, with a supper that was surprising. My dear friend, let me say to you tonight, if your sins were forgiven, if you knew Christ as Savior, you would begin the taste of a sweet supper. It doesn't say he brought her to a banquet. No. She says, he brought me to the banqueting house. She wasn't there for one meal. They tell you about great eating places. And you go once a year, And you go and you spend a couple of hours and you spend your £50 and you're out again. This girl didn't come just to the banquet. She came to the banqueting house. I tell you, she was landed for the rest of her life. The canteens of that banqueting hall, they had a store that never could be exhausted. Listen, getting saved is not just a one-time appointment. It's not a matter of making a quick, snap decision for one meeting. Dear friend, turning from your sins, trusting Christ, it introduces you to a relationship with the Savior that will never end. You'll never be hungry again. Thank God. I would say tonight, whatever you do, He's calling you. She said, He brought me into the banqueting house. And when she looked up, there was a great big banner. And the banner said, Love. And as she looked at this table, looked at the wealthy surroundings, the brilliance of it all, she thought about where she might have been, still slaving back in vineyards. And she says, Here I am now. You know, I tell you the truth, I'm here in my own town, dear people. I'll have two birthdays this month. I'll not tell you any more details about one of them. Some know enough about it without any further advertisement. But I have a birthday before the month will end. On the 24th of June, in this very town, the Lord saved me. I've enjoyed salvation every day and every month and every year since then. And thank God, I'll enjoy the blessing while endless ages rule. I'm glad the night I ever took the invitation. I'm glad to tell you, dear friend, love has spread the table. Love has invited the lost. It was love that brought the Savior from above the sky. It was love that took him to the cross. I stand amazed in the presence of Jesus the Nazarene. And wonder how he could love me, a sinner, condemned unclean. Dear friend, that's the point. Grasp that you're a sinner. The Savior has loved you. There's a supper that is ready. Admission is free. Whatever you do, don't go away back. Don't go away back to the poor restaurants of this world. Don't step out of this gospel meeting and go back to the eating places of sin and Satan. Dear friend, you're invited to the royal banquet. May God grant that you'll take that willing step. And I would say as I sit down, Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. And you'll be able to say, I'm serious about this, dear friend. This is it. To know that you'll never be in hell. To know that your sins are forgiven is the sweetest thing that the human soul can ever taste. Some of you will go down the stairs, still a sinner, turn your back on Christ, staring out into the yawning gulf of an eternity in the darkness of hell. I plead with you, dear friend, be wise. Why go to the party when there's a banquet? Be wise. Taste. Take the invitation. Taste the supper, and you'll be able to say like this lady, He brought me into the banqueting house, and His banner over me was love. May God grant you'll taste this very night.